from your home for just sort of wandering through the Sunday sports section, but without all that page turning getting in the way. Semi-live from a studio. This is View from the Bleachers. How you doing?
Who are you?
I'm Eric.
Oh, I'm Aaron. How are you doing?
Good. I didn't have that written down. That is what we
just
get.
Just go with it.
That's what we get when we wing it. Yeah.
Just go with it.
I literally ended at semi-live from a studio.
You've been only doing this for like 4 years.
This feels like
three years.
This feels new every time. This is good stuff, man. This brand new live show, semi-live.
Nice. Semi-live, not live.
Thankfully. You remember what happened last time we went live?
Guys? Can everybody tell that we are like in a sports lull?
I love a good sports lull. As much as I love sports, I love a good sports lull. We could almost talk about...
No.
No? Darn. How about just like...
No.
No? All right, fine. I'm talking about baseball.
Yeah, how are you Brewers doing?
Can we... Fine. Yeah, actually, well, thanks for mentioning that. Thanks for asking.
Well, that's my job.
This Milwaukee Brewers...
I have no other job. Really.
Oh, man, we coast.
Free-for-all today.
It is. It's a free-for-all. The Brewers were 5-0 this week.
Yeah.
I kind of, you know, about a month ago, I was stomping around just sort of bored with the Brewers because they were 500. Like, they were slowly getting towards...
Do that every year. They get a hot start, and they tail off a little bit. They'll tail off. They'll kind of... Come back up a little
I
bit.
I need their comeback up a little bit. They, yeah. Well, I mean, in the last week, they went 5-0, right? So they were projected at the beginning of the week to win like 84, 85 games.
You said 95, I think, didn't you?
And now, at the end of last week, looking at their projections after, they are now on pace to win 94 games. So we're feeling right where we need to be about the Milwaukee Brewers once again.
How'd they win 5 games in a row?
Their bullpen.
No.
It's not... Well, a couple things, of course.
Yeah.
The bullpen has gotten consistent. They were getting used a lot, right? Like, the bullpen was getting heavily, heavily used over the early part of the season. Pat Murphy, their manager, was getting these starting pitchers, trying to get them through 4 1/3, maybe 5 innings.
Okay.
And then... That was about it. Like, let's get to this bullpen, because the bullpen over the last couple, 2-3 years, has been the best, most consistent part of their team.
Okay.
They've always managed to find guys who can pitch the fifth through the ninth inning, give or take locking down a team. So that was what they were trying to do again this year, but they were failing. Trevor Megill got pulled as a starter after he gave up a bajillion runs in 3 innings. Abner Uribe, the closer that replaced him, his ERA is getting down under 4 now, but it was pretty high. They had a lot of bullpen guys with ERAs in the 6s and 7s, which is not fantastic. You want guys low ERA, but now they're starting to even that back out. Led by, I won't say unheralded, because Aaron Ashby has been talked about for a couple of years within the Brewers system. Like, he was going to be a guy they had made a trade for. He was a second round pick, slowly developed him, had an arm injury, signed him early on. Like, they signed him to a long-term deal when he was still in the minors, and it's taken him a couple of years. He's not a starter, but he is leading the team in wins by a ton. He is currently 7-0. Has
good.
Only it is yes that is good
that helps
that is a good stat to have being 7-0. Yeah, he's pitched in, I want to say, like 19 games.
Okay.
He's only started one of them. He's 7-0 and he's pitched 26 innings, so he's not pitching a ton of innings, right? Like an inning and a half every time, not 2 innings.
Sure.
He's on pace to win like 20 some games. It's
okay.
Making 60 appearances. It's an old school reliever. It's the type of numbers that haven't really been seen in the majors in quite a few years. Normally, a guy is either a starter, a middle reliever, or a closer. Aaron Ashby is just sort of I'll pitch anywhere from the fourth inning to the eighth inning, and he seems to just... He struck out the Yankees. They played the Yankees over the weekend. They swept the Yankees.
Wow.
Yeah. He went 1-2-3 against the Yankees' 3 best hitters and struck them all out in the eighth inning. to give the Brewers a chance.
Sounds like a New York team.
Yeah, it felt good. It's always nice to see the Brewers in there. David beat the Yankees as the Goliath, and that was so. Aaron Ashby's been the guy all year.
Did I see it right that what's that kid pitcher?
Jacob Mizorowski?
Like pitched on phenomenally high speeds.
He dropped to start one of those. I think it was against the Yankees. He was a starter, and he had his first 10 pitches were all over 102 miles an hour. Yeah, he's throwing gas like Randy Johnson.
Yeah.
You know, it's fantastic. He's one of those, you look at the Brewers every 5 days get to roll out a guy who can do that.
Yeah.
It's great to see.
How many innings is he usually pitching for, though?
He's getting I don't think he's pitched past the sixth inning in any start.
Well, that's not bad, though.
No, 3 years ago, this guy was a reliever in junior college.
Sure.
You know, the Brewers took him to the lab. They say like the Brewers have a pitching department lab, their rookie ball, their, I don't know, a lab. I don't know what you do with a pitcher in there. You break them down, analytics, you figure out angle of release, figure out everything. Yeah, Jacob Mizorowski is 6'7". So when he releases the ball,
he's got a little bit of leverage.
He's got a ton of leverage, and he's also so much closer to the plate than a typical pitcher.
Sure,
yeah, he's really great to see. And it's you know, when you're looking at the best players in the world and he is beating them. That one's fun. That's
okay.
You know, with the Brewers, you're young guy with your young pitchers, they tend to, you know, pump the brakes a little bit on young pitchers, so I wouldn't expect him to like win a Cy Young, pitch 200 innings this year, but it looks like he can be your 130, 150. He looks like he could be a number one in a playoff series at this point, at least at this point in the season. Kyle Harrison, another young pitcher, left-hander, had the most strikeouts by a left-handed starter a couple starts ago. He looks great. Brandon Woodruff hasn't pitched in a few weeks. He had a start where his fastball wasn't getting over 84 miles an hour.
That's not good.
That is not good. He's gone from a 96-mile-an-hour fastball in his prime about 4 years ago.
Does he go to the pitching lab?
No. I think he's going to struggle. I think he's going to be the... I hope I'm wrong. I really, really hope I'm wrong. But for Brewers fans out there, the quintessential Brewers old man fifth starter. A guy like... that just kind of comes in, gets his five innings, gets beat up on, ends of the season with an ERA around 4, 4.5. And Brandon Woodruff, I hope not. I hope I'm wrong. I hope he can figure it out. I hope he's got another...
Did you go back down to the minors?
Not at 35 years old.
Oh,
you know, he's in the last year of a $22 million... He signed a one-year $22 million deal with the Brewers at the beginning, or two-year last year. So this is the last year of his deal.
Okay.
This is that prove-it year for him where... You know, maybe he does pitch really well down the stretch, and the Brewers can get him for a couple years. But there's probably his last go around as an ace for the Brewers. But I'm, you know, rooting for him because he's been really, really consistent. Their hitting is getting there because he has baseball. It's a long season. You can't make big leaps in a week. You can't. You know, you can get healthy in a week, and they've got Christian Yelich back. Somewhere in the top of that order, that the first four in their lineup looks really good now. You've got Bryce Turang, who is, looking it up, might be the best second baseman in the whole darn world, if not in Major League Baseball.
Okay.
But he's doing everything. He's doing everything. He had a walk-off home run against the Yankees.
Wow.
That guy can do it all.
Okay.
Jackson Churio is back, and he is something at the top of that lineup. He's so fast. He's so athletic. He looks just faster than everybody else and stronger, and he's great, and he's 22.
Okay.
Christian Yelich is lazy. He fits in the third spot for at least the next few weeks until he gets
hurt again.
Andrew Vaughn is back. And he's...
Vaughn.
Yeah. King Vaughn. Yep, he's...
Vaughn, you shanked that ball. Sorry.
No, we'll do some. That's a good one. We'll bring Rick that soundbite for real one of these times. He's the closest thing the Brewers have to a home run hitter.
Yeah.
They're last or near last in home runs in all of baseball or in the National League. So the fact that they're sitting 1, 2, or 3 in their division is going to be surprising all year because they're just not hitting home runs. Normally, a team hits that few home runs, they're going to lose more games than they win. So it does speak to how well the lineup and the organization...
Central's weird.
It is. Are they still all over 500? I don't think the Reds are they?
Reds are over 500.
Because they at some point lost 8 games in a row recently.
Yes, well... Mm-hmm. Pirates are second to the bottom with 23-19.
Mm-hmm.
Cardinals are in third at 24-17. Then your Brewers are 23-16.
Huh.
It's probably based on conference.
Yeah, there's some kind of...
They've played those three teams.
Or run differential. I'm not entirely sure how they do tiebreakers.
If you don't know, I don't know.
Correct. No, that's probably pretty accurate.
Cubs are at the top of it. I'm sorry.
Cubs might be the best team in baseball.
Huh?
Yeah, they've got a really good manager, and they spend a lot of money. I said might. You know, the Cubs are...
Rays?
The Tampa Bay Rays are up there again, huh?
28-13.
And we're hitting the quarter pole of the season, right? Yeah. Like, we're over 40
Guardians
games.
Guardians are in the top of the Central.
Okay.
And then my Twins are three-way tie at the end.
Well, there's a lot of young talent in Major League Baseball right now. The Guardians, the number one pick a couple years ago, I believe his last name is Banzana. He
God
came
bless
up.
You.
Yeah, that's a fun name to say. But there's a lot of
Zana.
Talent under the age of 23 in the majors right now.
Okay.
It's kind of fun to watch. I don't know a lot of the names. You know, I know
Dodgers aren't in first.
I know if they were playing for the Brewers, I'd be super excited for all this young talent, right?
Padres.
Okay, I can see that. These are teams that spent all the money.
Shohei Ohtani's not been hitting really well the last like 7-8 games.
He's
0 for
Again, it's baseball. These swings happen. But no, Shohei Ohtani, pitcher/hitter for the Dodgers, is the best baseball player in the world.
Right now.
But they still go through slumps. Hell, it's still...
But it doesn't matter. They've got 4 or 5 other guys taking the slack. So.
And in baseball, getting out 7 out of 10 times, you're still considered pretty successful.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Yep, I'm sure that'll swing back around. I don't know of any large stories in baseball otherwise, which is... You know, which is fine. As long as the Brewers keep winning series after series after series and keeping pace with the Cubs, I think I'll have something to talk about.
Really?
I mean, even when they're not, I usually can find something sporting to talk about. But yeah.
Okay.
What else happened?
NFL? Schedule release is going to happen Thursday night.
That's such a manufactured, silly, silly event that the NFL has talked us into talking about. I'm not going to do it. Can we next week, when we're actually looking at the schedule in front of us a little bit, have a little bit of time to maybe write down what we think the win totals and loss totals are? Because otherwise...
I'm talking playoffs already.
Otherwise, we're just talking about... Because we don't know anything about any of the teams really in the NFL.
No, we won't.
At this point in the
season. You won't know until at least week 3 or 4.
No, there are teams that lost 12 games last year that I think could win 10 games this year. There are playoff teams
from
last year.
There's 11 international games this year, though.
Yeah, they're doing almost the whole middle block of the season. I think they go 11 weeks in a row with somebody traveling out.
Week 1, 10 games. No, even less than that, but I was going to... Week 1, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 9, 10, 11.
Wow.
So 8
okay.
games. Sorry.
Which right? I like that they have a cut line there, because those last 5 games of the season, you're either stuck with teams in the tank or teams that really have something to play for that do not want to travel across the ocean
some new
to
ones,
play a game.
This is the first year. Week 1, Rams versus 49ers are in Australia.
Oh, that's a new spot. Yeah. I know last year wasn't it last year or a couple of years ago, the Steelers kicked off in Ireland.
Right. They've been this year they're in them and the Jags. No, Saints. Steelers and Saints are gonna be in Paris, France.
Interesting.
I didn't know Paris or French were football players.
I mean, I guess I don't know enough about European sports and fans and
they're big
who
fans.
I don't know who's going to the games
Everybody.
Of the NFL.
It's a big event.
Okay, because I don't know how many, like I said, followers and fans. I'd assume in places like in Mexico City, I bet there's a huge amount. Or somewhere in Canada, maybe there's a lot of NFL fans. But when you start crossing oceans...
There is. You'd be surprised. Like, Minnesota's got a lot of international fans.
Hmm.
At least
I know
yours.
Green Bay does because of simply... We had talked about this last year at some point. How the Green Bay Packers are structured as an... as an entity, as a team,
right,
with no CEO, no general, you know,
right,
bodes, because that's how a lot of European soccer clubs,
oh,
especially
yeah,
at the grassroots, at these smaller town levels, that's how they're organized too.
Sure.
The fans are the owners, the people who have put the money up for these stadiums and physically built the stands with their hands. Those are who's in charge. So they've always been drawn to the Green Bay Packers in that sense.
But the Jags always play internationally, yep, every year.
Their
the
owner, Shad Khan, is also the owner of a professional football soccer team or two in Europe. I believe Steelers, Arsenal or something
Steelers,
like that.
Steelers, typically, they're big. They have a big fan base, especially in Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah.
I do wonder, because they have, if I'm, correct me if I'm wrong, I'm pretty sure that the they have a shillelagh on their helmet somewhere.
I think so,
and I don't, I guess I don't know the connection between it, but
yeah,
okay.
Well, they don't. They got three stars on their helmet.
Look at us talking about the schedule, and we said we weren't going to talk
you know
about
what,
the schedule.
What team has the most miles traveled this year? No, you don't.
No, I was going to say it's got to be a West Coast team, though. It has to be like the Broncos.
San Francisco 49ers.
Yep.
They're going to travel 38,000 miles this year.
Wow. That's, I mean, that makes sense. That,
yeah,
it does.
Carolina is the least. 8,740,000.
Huh. I wonder if that's, I mean, I could, that's a fun stat to think about.
San Francisco's traveling also abroad.
Right. I was just going to say, and anytime, Carolina might be too.
No, they're not.
No, but okay. That makes, and the NFC South is closer. All those teams are pretty close.
Yeah. Minnesota's traveling 14,852 miles, 1,000 miles. Green Bay is traveling 12,673.
Huh. There interesting statistic. Look
schedule
at that. That's
schedule.
Some numbers.
They're also having a Thanksgiving Eve night game.
Thanksgiving?
Yes.
Eve night. So the day before Thanksgiving.
So Wednesday
the
night.
The Wednesday before Thanksgiving.
They're having a game.
We're getting a game, and then we wake up. We have a game on Thursday,
yeah,
and then another
Friday.
Game on Thursday, and another game on Thursday.
Game on Friday, I think, too, isn't it?
Game.
Black Friday? Because Amazon's got, Prime's got it. They're going to have a game on,
you know,
every
get,
day of the week.
This is my least favorite thing about the NFL.
Every day of
I
the week.
I enjoy the draft. I enjoy the strategy. I
it's
love,
done. It's
I love
right
a playbook. I love the drama of the offseason. But, man, having games
and remember,
every
you know how many,
single channel and day really
every streaming
me
service
out,
has got, you know, Netflix, Amazon Prime,
yeah,
Peacock, Paramount Plus.
It's silly.
Then you got to have the ones for the Fox, because
correct, yeah,
Fox does not have a streaming platform.
An app? No, they don't. No,
I've tried.
They used to have Fox Sports.
Yeah,
Fox
yeah
Sports was
yeah
a really nice app because that was the same one that did Brewers games.
And at that point, I might as well just pay for the cable to get all the local.
But then you still won't get all of the all of them, right? Like
right
you still
no,
won't.
You right. You cannot get like the Netflix ones.
I mean, I accidentally found out. I got an alert. I have Amazon Prime. I didn't know. And I was able to watch NBA games. It was the game 4
yeah, I
of
can't
the
watch
Thunder versus Lakers. You know, like LeBron James could have been LeBron James's last game.
It's not, though.
And you couldn't find it
yeah
on ESPN. You couldn't find it on NBC. You couldn't find it on ABC.
No,
it was
I don't. I
wild
find,
to
and
me.
I have cable. Such I get one of the streaming, or you know,
mm-hmm,
and I get a pretty good package. I don't have ESPN anymore, but I couldn't find it on TBS, TNT, where
yeah
it normally would be.
Yeah, no, you weren't going to see
yeah
it.
Yeah. Anyway, NFL stuff. You want to still talk about what your team needs?
I do. There was a
my
little
team needs?
Yeah, your
our
team
teams
needs a lot.
Your no, they don't. Your not any more than yours
well
does.
Your team actually solved a couple problems in their offseason.
I think so.
Right? Like they got a quarterback or
yes
they got a backup quarterback.
No.
Either way
no,
you
no,
look
no,
at
no
it.
He's the he's going to start.
But it makes their backup quarterback maybe one of the better backup quarterbacks in the league. Right?
What?
Like, yeah, their backup quarterback, it might because their backup quarterback is a former first-round pick, is a pretty good backup to have.
All three of our quarterbacks are first-round picks.
That's such a – those are bust. I mean, yeah, bust, and bust. Maybe not by the end of the year, right? The track record tells me –
remember, we had this discussion about –
and we will up until probably
right
the entire season.
No, we had this discussion about quarterback – busts, and we blame it on the team typically.
Normally, yeah, no, Kyler
you know
Murray, it's not a Kyler Murray
come
problem.
And
it's
right
not the Arizona
yeah
Cardinals
yeah
are have been and will continue to be
yeah
just not well run.
Kyler will be the game one starter.
Oh, yeah, I hope so. I mean, you don't bring him in
unless something just snaps and JJ.
Right, there's no way that you bring a guy like Kyler Murray in without the nod, nod, wink, you're the starter.
At 1.9, you do. million.
That's fair. Fair enough. He's made his. He's making his $50 million from another team.
Anyway, go ahead with your team.
The Packers backup running back.
No.
The Packers running back room, yeah, honestly looks bare. It does not look good.
Looks like I'm quarterback backup room.
Correct. Well, they signed Tyrod Taylor. They got Tyrod Taylor. They've got a legitimate number two now. Like, he's not going to take anybody's job. He's not going to leave the team after two.
I would laugh if he did.
I mean, I've been saying I don't think Jordan Love can be. Feels replaceable. He really does. Matt LaFleur is a really good offensive coach. That feels like, but you're not. Tyrod Taylor is your number two. You didn't have to draft a guy to develop him. There's no controversy. He's going to back up. He'll be fine as your backup.
There's only controversy because it was Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
Who still hasn't signed.
No, he's playing for the Steelers. It's silly. But the Packers run the ball a lot.
Yeah.
There was times during the season where it would bum me out to watch them continue to run the ball. Problem was, is you can't give Josh Jacobs, their starting running back, 35 carries a game for 17 games. He has not, and no running back over the last few years has proven themselves to be able to handle that much of a workload.
Christian McCaffrey.
But even he's been hurt. He's missed 2 years out of his career with large-scale injuries. Yeah. You could say that's from wear and tear or Derrick Henry had a really solid 5 or 6 year run of they just handed him the ball 200 all the time. Josh Jacobs is not quite that guy. He's not.
Not anymore.
And their back, that's just it. Is now their backup running backs are. There isn't a team in the NFL. Brooks, I believe, was re-signed to one of those like low scale million plus tenders. And then it's the oft injured and always forgotten Marshawn Lloyd. He was a third round pick this is the last year of his rookie deal.
Oh, wow.
And he has played in 2 games. He missed his entire rookie, his entire second year with odd injuries. Just strange, like when a guy just can't go at 80% and he just doesn't. So they're relying on that. That's your running back group. That's one injury away. Like if Jordan Love is hurt.
That puts a lot of pressure on Jordan Love.
10,000%. There's going to be times in the game where you need a change of pace back who does something different. Like every team in the division currently has a 1-2 in the backfield that at least gave you pause to think.
Sure, right.
You know, like Minnesota had Jordan Mason.
Still does.
And Aaron Jones.
Still does.
Still do.
Game on Claymore now.
The Lions ran Montgomery and
Gibbs,
as well as you could possibly run. Like, now David Montgomery got himself a nice big fat contract as a backup.
Now you have Isaiah Pacheco.
Yeah, and the Bears, too. The Bears have been able to DeAndre Swift and some other guy win the division last year. The Packers do not have that ability to do that. They've addressed offensive line depth, defensive line depth, cornerback depth.
Sure.
You know.
Wide receiver?
Wide receiver, no, but you have three guys. You have three guys, right? Like,
three guys.
I mean, can you name the three guys for Minnesota?
Wide receivers?
I'm going to tell you this, and we'll find out at the end of the year.
Yeah.
But I'm going to tell you 1, 2, 3, the Packers' wide receiver depth is better than every other team in the division. Their wide receiver room. Justin Jefferson is the best wide receiver in the division.
I don't agree with that at all.
That you don't. Oh, but I believe that
you can believe it all you want.
Christian Watson is going to play in more games than Jordan Addison this year. I can probably promise you that.
No.
Jalen Reed.
He's not getting any trouble.
No, you've decided.
No, he hasn't. Are you so going to
drive
him?
Are you going to drive him to games so he doesn't get in?
I have to.
Are you going to drive him home from games?
Well,
too?
Also, it's his fifth year.
Yeah,
they picked up his fifth year.
Fair.
Either going to do it or not. If he doesn't do it, he ain't going to be in Minnesota next year.
I have talked myself into it.
How could you talk yourself into it with Christian Watson with glass hamstrings?
Jalen Reed, too. He gets oft injured, too. I believe it this year. I think this is
How long has Christian Watson been in the league with the Packers?
This is his fourth year.
Has he had a year when he wasn't injured?
No, of course not.
Wow, you're being really optimistic.
You know, I'm going to tell you that the talent on those 1, 2, 3 is better than Juwan Jennings. I don't think
no.
I think so. I guess we'll find out.
Let's just say pure talent-wise, between on my three versus your three. I mean, Juwan Jennings is one of those workhorse. He's right in the trench, you know? And Jordan Addison is can be a
and
one
I,
if he
I feel like,
pulled his
I
head
feel
out
like,
of his butt.
Well, I feel like Matthew Golden has number one. When they were talking about like who's going to be the guy who replaces Romeo Doubs in these step up and catch the ball situation, because that's where Doubs did his work.
Sure.
His third down.
Yep.
Red zone. Like big time
clutch
spots.
You got a tight end coming back.
And Tucker Kraft. I think having a real tight end on the field makes the wide receivers better too, because
so
they have to cover the middle.
This will be going the second year then, right?
This is correct. This is the second year of everybody in that room. I think that offensive unit. You know, Tucker Kraft looked at, before he got hurt, he was a top three tight end in
the league.
He was
the only target.
He was, you know, top three tight end in the league. Christian Watson in the 7 games he played last year.
There it is. There it is.
Had so many touchdowns, you know, like Jalen Reed before he missed.
He got a touchdown. Oh, it was hammy.
Matthew Golden, when he finally saw the field at the end of the year, looked legit.
When?
At the end of the year.
Last game?
He did. Yes, that's all you need. A little optimism. But I like I said, their running back room does not have that guy. And really, Josh Jacobs isn't a spectacular back. Like,
not
he just,
anymore.
He's a hammer-ya, and gets a lot of touchdowns. So I think their depth becomes a problem at some point.
Depth there and wide receiver, honestly.
Yeah. I mean, it's still early enough in your off season where I feel like they can add a veteran in the wide receiver room somewhere.
Debo Samuel.
He's still sitting around. You know, I don't want to see Tyreek Hill
Tyreek Hill.
Well, I mean, truthfully, on the Packers, Tyreek Hill would be a weapon. Yeah. Tyreek Hill would be incredible. With Jordan Love's arm and Tyreek Hill's ability to get down the field, that would be... Okay. Wonderful. I don't see him signing in Green Bay. No. Typically,
nobody wants to play in the cold.
Nobody in December and January, if we're trying to make their money, want to play in Green Bay.
A minute and a half.
Do we really?
Yeah.
A minute and a half.
We don't. We can talk about the Vikings next year or next week.
Next year.
Maybe next year. We'll see how that goes.
Minute and a half. I want to talk about real quick.
No. What?
No. I want to. No, something good. Something.
Okay.
This is really good.
Okay.
We talked about this off the air. Oh, it's a positive thing.
Oh, the positive one. Okay.
Yeah. We talk a lot about sports.
You.
And we're not really educated, but we really love sports in this room. And we really do. I would like to sit and talk to, say, you're listening on the air, you hear this streaming, you hear somebody, or pass this along. If you're a coach for something, if you're a ref, a volunteer, event staff, or a player in anything in this area.
High school?
Yeah. Reach out to us on our View from the Bleachers Facebook page. I would really like to...
Well, they can reach us on the website, too.
Or on the website.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Because I would really like to hear from somebody. I'd like to talk to you for a couple minutes. Tell me what's great.
Bring you in and record. You can record it with us.
We can do one of these spots like we got on the air. Yeah, I'd like to get a little more... out of the people that I share this community with, because I really like hearing me talk about the Brewers, but there's so much more in this area that I would like to cover. So please give a shout. I would really be interested. Is that about it? Or we got more time?
You might as well just say goodbye.
Hey, buddy, everybody. Have a wonderful weekend. Talk to you soon. Bye.